This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Samson, the Modern Day America, and the author is Stephen Ray Williams. And Stephen joins us now on Indie Book Publishing. This interview brought to you by Westbow Press. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Steve. How are you?
Great. Great to have you with us. This book, Samson, the Modern Day America. I think we all know the great story of Samson in the Old Testament, you know, a man whose life was dedicated in service to the Lord and who was destined to judge and rule the Philistines, as you write about it. Of course, we all know what happened to Samson, too, once he started, I guess, turning his back on the Lord, and he was tempted by Delilah, and he got himself in big trouble, and you see America kind of in the same picture. It once was a great place of worship and service to God, and of course, that has changed dramatically. I think we all see that. So before we get into some more details about your book, tell us about yourself, Stephen, about your background and why you decided to write it.
Well, I got saved at the age of 10. And then shortly after, I was talking to the preacher about, I told him that Solomon was considered the wisest man in the Bible, thought Goliath was the tallest. Is there anybody who was the strongest? And he told me the Samson. So I started reading about Samson, and it was just something about it that seemed interesting to me. Anyway, as I went on, I read more, and I would hear more about Samson, and more things would come to my mind. And then I started seeing similarities with Samson and America. And I kept getting more and more thoughts in my mind. And then I think it was the fall of 2006. I took a day vacation. I was listening to Chuck Swindoll, and he happened to be preaching on Samson or teaching on Samson that day. And he made a comment about Judges 15:20, and somehow when he said what he said about it, the light came on inside me, and all of the information I had about Samson and America seemed to fall in place, and that's how I started to write the book. As a kid, I'll say math. There were three things I studied, or most of my time, too, as a kid through high school. There was chess, math, and the Bible. Those three things. And I guess math is my natural talent. And after I graduated from high school, I still would do a lot of math. And there was one math formula that I did develop and did get copyrighted. But all this time, I would still go back, read about Samson, hear about Samson. And then finally, I was able to put it all down on paper.
Well, very good. It's such a great analogy because, again, as we just said, Samson, dedicated in service to the Lord. Now, tell us a little bit more about Samson. Give us a little bit more on this dedication to the Lord.
Well, before he was born, his parents were wanting to have a child, and they made this vow to the angel, to God, that they gave them a son, that they would make him a Nazarite to God. And to be a Nazarite to God, that means you're sort of set apart and more supposed to be, more dedicated to God. And there were three parts of the Nazarite vow that they had to keep, that Samson had to keep. One of them was he had to abstain from wine and or strong drink and anything dealing with wine, including grapes and vineyards or whatever. And he was not to eat anything unclean, and he was not to cut the seven locks of his hair off. And that if you read the 13th chapter of Judges is where Samson's parents are praying to God, and Samson comes with a picture. And the last verse, I think the last of the 13th chapter, says, and the Spirit of God began to move on Samson. And there were several feats throughout Samson's life, like slaying the lion, slaying 1,000 men, where the Bible says that and the Spirit of God came upon Samson. So Samson had more strength, a lot more strength than the average person. And his dedication was, his main calling was to deliver Israel from the Philistines. But Samson, as time went on with Samson, he started compromising with his vows. And he finally got away from God and finally broke all three of them, all three of his vows. And that's when God left him. And overall, Samson's big problem was he wanted to do what Samson wanted to do and not what God wanted to do. And that's a lot like the way America is today. Everybody wants to do what they want to do, and nobody wants to do what God wants to do.
America has a tough time dealing with absolutes these days, doesn't it? Especially even the Christian community has a tough time.
Yes. It seems like some people are afraid to tell the truth. Some of them know if they tell the truth, it might be bad for them, and they might not get something good. They might lose a job or whatever. And the sad part is, it seems like the higher-up people from all areas of life, big businesses, churches, organizations, whatever, sort of lean toward justifying not giving the whole truth. They like to do what Paul says over in Timothy at the end times, tickle people's ears instead of telling them the truth.
So you see America, of course, you know, built on this rock of religious fervor and religious freedom and so much focus, even by our founding fathers. God was a part of, they recognized him, even Benjamin Franklin in that great speech he gave about the need for prayer. And yet, since then, even in the churches, you talk about psychology in the churches. Tell us more about that.
What I call psychology is when we have these situations in life, whatever they might be, problems, sickness or whatever, and instead of going to the Bible, God's true word, we try to do something or say something that will make us feel good. Sort of, you might say, a lot of these feel-good situations as opposed to what the real truth is. It's sort of like... say if you've got a pain in your body caused by something, but you rub this cream on it, the pain goes away. But the problem is not solved, it's still there. But we think if the pain's gone, the problem's gone. And it's not. We sort of deceive ourselves by not coming out with the real truth. We want to solve a problem now, and we want to solve it in a way pleasing to us, as opposed to waiting for God to work in to really do the best thing for our lives.
So what do you see as the bottom line for America? What must America do to regain its spiritual strength?
We've got to start with the Christians and on down. We're going to have to repent, get our hearts back to God, seek God's way and not man's way. And it is going to be a challenge. And it will not be easy. And let me read you one verse. It's 2 Chronicles 7:14, which says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. For the past 10 to 15 years, that verse has been quoted a lot by pastors to their congregation. But what America needs to do is we need to make a commitment and we need to act. We're sort of passive in what we do pertaining to the Bible. We'll have a good word from God, a promise from God, but we don't do anything to make it come about. So we need to make a full commitment, like I say, back to God and die to a lot of these self ways that we have, self-convenience or whatever, and put God back first in our lives instead of ourselves.
So what happened to Samson? Give us a retell that story of, tell us, you know, Samson's demise.
Okay, well, short, he was born, like I say, to his main thing in life was to save Israel from the Philistines. He started out, I'll say, on the wrong track by compromising by, he fell in what I call lust with the Philistine woman instead of love. What Samson called love was really lust. But Samson started out wrong. Samson did a lot of things for God, but in a sort of a hard way because he was still part of it. And the main thing, when he came to Delilah, she started pressing on with trying to find out where his strength lies. And she was very persistent in her belief, even though it was a false belief, more so than Samson was in his right belief. And Samson was sort of playing with her, toying with her, teasing her all this time. And then he finally told her his strength was in his hair. And when she cut the hair off, the next morning, Samson said that, I'll get up as it did before, but he did not know that God had left him. And that's one of the sad verses in the Bible, when the Spirit of God just left Samson and Samson didn't know it. And when Samson left him, left God, and God left Samson, that's when the enemy was able to come in and capture Samson. And Samson has had what I called spiritual AIDS. You know, AIDS is a where the body system or the immune system cannot fight off the germs, and the germs finally come into the body and win. Okay, when Samson lost the Holy Spirit, that was his protection, that was his immune system. And when the Spirit of God left Samson, that's when the enemy was allowed to come in and capture Samson. Same way with America today. If the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, the believers have the Holy Spirit, is what's keeping America safe right now. But once that's gone, then that's when the enemy is going to come in and take over America. And we need to seriously see how close we are to God's judgment and repent and give back to God. Samson finally repented, finally got his strength back, and he did destroy a lot of Philistines, but he did not do as good a job as if he had stayed true to God all that time. And
so your message to America is repent, or what happens?
We perish. We're gone. Like
America
like
will
Samson.
No longer exist.
Right, as America as we know it today. We would not have the freedom like, I would say we would not have the freedom like you and I are right now talking on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
All these talk shows, all the freedom we have, going to sport games or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I would say those will all be gone, because whoever's going to be in charge is going to demand what we do and don't do.
Well, it's very sobering, but it's, you know, it's very plain. We can see it very clearly. It's a great analogy, and those kinds of great men and women of the Old and New Testament are there for us to study and to use as an example today, right?
Right. Even though it does seem scary and frightening, it is true, but there is hope. And remember in the Bible, the city called Nineveh, that Jonah went to, they were wicked people, but yet they had revival, and they got back on track with God. So there is a chance for America. But if you also read over, you find out that Nineveh finally turned their back on God, and they were finally destroyed because they got away from God again.
Hmm.
But if America gets back to God, we have hope. But it will require a commitment to God and action. We just can't sit and hope, and it just sounds good, and expect something good to happen. It will be a battle. But with God's help, we can win.
We've been listening to Stephen Ray Williams, his book, Samson, the Modern Day America. Stephen, tell us how to get your book.
You can look on the website. There's a website. It's Samson versus America. Or you can go to westbowpress.com. It should be on Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Stephen, for being with us on Indie Book Publishing.
Thank you, sir.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Westbow Press.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, everybody. This is Pete Six of Beatles and Beyond. Why don't we all come together and hear some of the tracks off the latest Beatles release on this radio station? Yes, why don't you look up the schedules on this radio station and join me and Beatles listeners everywhere to hear the latest releases from the Beatles on Beatles and Beyond with Pete Dix.
Connect with Juliana and connect with what lies beneath. Friday afternoons at 4, 3 Central on TogiNet.com. Juliana is a marriage, family, and child therapist who wants people to connect. Connect with what lies beneath, those truths and answers. And through her counseling practice, she has helped others find their personal power and fulfill their dreams. And she wants to do the same for you. Here on Connect with Juliana. Through intimate discussions, intriguing subject matters, and the expertise of her guests. For more on the show and Juliana, check out her webpage. Connect with Juliana in media.com. Juliana will cover it all. Nothing is off limits. She wants to know what matters to you. Make the connection. Tune in to TogiNet to connect with Juliana to find out the facts that could be hidden beneath the surface. Connect with Juliana on TogiNet to make a quality connection in your life. Friday afternoons at 4, 3 Central on TogiNet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book is Book of Poetry, Let a Shepherd Be Your Guide. And the poet is Jacob Nathaniel Shepherd. And Jacob joins us now on Indie Book Publishing. This interview brought to you by Westbow Press. Hello, Jacob.
Hello, Steve. And hello, folks on the airwaves. Nice to
great
talk
to have
with you.
With us. Yes, and great to have you with us. You're going to share a few of your poems in a moment, but first of all, I want to just kind of set the stage for our discussion. You say this: if you are a Christian and are interested in going to heaven, this book will provide you with a wonderful daily devotional in the form of a poem, which will help you achieve your ultimate goal. Now, take us back, Jacob. You're 85 years young, is that right, 85?
Now I'm a little bit beyond that now. I'm 90.
Oh, you're 90. Oh, my goodness. Uh-huh. Well, congratulations.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I've been 90 since early August. I turned 90.
All right. Well, there you go, everyone. Jacob has found his niche and later in life, and look at you. But take us back to just tell us a little bit about your background, Jacob. I think everyone would be interested.
Well, of course, being 90 years old, I was born early in the century, back in 1923. During the Depression, and of course, my father didn't have a job. He worked for himself, but he was a good Christian man, and my mother was the one who really taught me about Jesus in my early days. I remember well kneeling at her knee and listening to her quote nursery rhymes and stories about Jesus, and she knew a lot about Jesus. She read the Bible a lot, and I was always very thankful that she started me off in the right way, and I owe her a lot for that.
And what did you do professionally? What did you do professionally?
Well, I had hoped in my earliest days I wanted to be a preacher. I really wanted to, learn how to preach and preach the gospel. And I came along around about the same time as Billy Graham. I was a little bit behind him, but not much. And I was in Greensboro and he was in Charlotte, but I didn't get into preaching, and that's because of the war. The war intervened with me, and I went into the Air Force as an aviation cadet, and I got to the point where I flew a B-17 bomber over Germany, 25 missions. I survived that and came back home, and I had worked as a teenager for a company in Greensboro, a manufacturing company that manufactured blue jeans. You might remember the name Wrangler.
Oh, yes.
Dale Earnhardt was one of our sponsors, and I worked for that company. After I came back from the war, I did take time to use the GI Bill to get an education, studied engineering, and came back into the company in that area. I worked for that company 38 years, rising up to corporate vice president in charge of research and development. Retired at the, let's see, how old was I? That's not important, but I did retire after those years, and we left Greensboro and moved to the coastal area at Riceville Beach on the coast of North Carolina, and we've been in this area since. But I did have a good career, both family-wise. My wife and I raised 7 children. Unfortunately, after 47 years of marriage, she passed away from lung cancer, and I was lucky, however, and several years later, I remarried, and my wife now and I have been married for 8 years. She actually is the one who got me started writing poetry, I think, and I owe her a lot for that.
You started back when? It wasn't that long ago when you started writing for the first time.
I wrote my first poem at the age of 82, so that was 8 years ago, just about the time that we got married. I was asked to make some remarks on stewardship at our church, and I sat down that week. I had a week to do it, and I sat down and started thinking about, well, now what should I say to those folks? And in doing so, I was dawdling along, and I wrote a poem, first poem I'd ever written. Like I have said, I did love limericks, and I love to write limericks, and but I'd never written a poem. But this time, I came up with a full poem. I'm sure it was about like the ones I write today. 5 or 6 verses that, in some manner tell a story. I have found that you can use rhyming poetry with a good metric quality for reading and still have it tell a tell a story of some sort. Now, you know, there's all different kinds of poems. Most of mine have been Christian poems, but not 100%. I write some funny things, but I do try to concentrate on telling the story of Jesus as I know it, because I feel like my mission in life is to help other people love him like I do, and when we die, go to heaven. That's my goal.
Why don't you share a poem right now with us?
Okay, this poem is the first one I wrote. I mean, the very first one when I was 82 years old. And the name of it is My Friend Jesus. I have a friend in heaven, the one that we all know. I talk with him and he with me. I know he loves me so. I have a friend in heaven. His earthly days were spent to teach us all that God is love. We learned just what that meant. I have a friend in heaven. He died that we might know the path that we must follow as home to heaven we go. I have a friend in heaven. He rose and lives today. He's always there if I should call. He always makes my day. I have a friend in heaven. He gave his life for me. Not just for me, but one and all, and soon in heaven will be. Jesus, our friend in heaven, requires not much from me. Our friendship is alive and well. His faithful steward I'll be. That was number one.
Very good. First one. Very good. Good. A good rhyme and a good beat to it. Very well done. Yes. You can that's what's great about poetry. It just kind of focuses the mind and with that rhythm and the rhyme, it just all fits together. So very well done. Why don't you share another one?
Okay. This one is it's called You've Still Got Time. And it's just one of the many. I've got so many that I'm looking through my book now, and there's 370 poems in this book. But you know, I continue to write, and I've got probably 400 or 500 more poems that I have not yet published. And they're all equally as good as the ones in this book. So, you know, I'm hoping to do some more publishing one of these days. But this one's called You've Still Got Time. When you look back into your life, do you feel satisfied? Have you done all the things you hoped to do before you died? If not, don't give up hope. You've still got time, you know, to do a lot of things you missed before you have to go. Sit down right now and make a list of things you want to do. The list may be longer than you thought, but that is up to you. To have some goals you want to reach will keep you occupied. You'll be proud not only of the things you did, but of all that you tried. Too many folks retire too early to their golden rocking chair. They quit thinking of things to do and just sit and rock and stare. They're content to dream of the past with no plans for what's ahead. Many have no cause for living and keep wishing they were dead. Wake up, my friend. Today is the start of the rest of your life on earth. Think of it in positive terms, just like it's your second birth. Your brain is full of expertise in all those things you've stored away. Just wipe away the cobwebs and start a new career today. In my life, there were times when I thought that I was through. I had the feeling that I was too old to think of something new. But then I found out how wrong I was. Your age is not the key. that unlocks the doors that leads to success and victory. Don't look at the life that you have left in terms of what to do. Get busy working on that list, you know, the one that's up to you. Don't ever give up. Don't ever quit. You're nowhere near the end. Look forward to tomorrow and start out fresh, my friend.
What great advice. Fantastic. Love it. Love it. So well done, Jacob. You're just a natural.
Well, you know, I say this in all modesty and in real belief. The things that I write, I don't really come up with them. I sit and you know, ponder something and a thought comes to me, and you know, I know where it's coming from. It's coming from Jesus. He helps me to put on paper my thoughts about him and what I hope for the future. And, you know, the other things I write, I think many times come the same way. I wish I could find the one I wrote for. I usually write a special poem for All Holidays, and I'm just going to read this one because this is along the same line.
Okay, very good. We'll close out with this poem.
And this is called I Wish I Knew the Answers. When Jesus died upon the cross, people then weren't aware that he would be so beloved by so many everywhere. The story of his death and resurrection spread far and wide. His apostles carried the message around the world like a rising tide. The creed relates that he spent 3 days in hell before he arose. What he was doing during those 3 days, no one really knows. I like to think that he was fighting with the devil for his very soul. The fact that he won that fight proves that he can make us whole. Having seen the burning brimstone torment those folks in hell made Jesus more determined than ever that his story he must tell. He worked real hard from the beginning, and he still works hard today to bring salvation to everyone, and for that we should daily pray. Do not believe the devil when he tries his best to lure you in. The truth of the matter is that his wares are loaded down with sin. Do not accept his promises that he has just what you need. He'll have no trouble selling his bill of goods to those who bask in greed. We would all be better off to spend our days working with the poor. There are so many down and out who've been pushed out the door. They have no way to make a living and don't know what to do. There but for the wonderful grace of God go fake folks like me and you. Those folks without a place to lay their head are always on Jesus' mind. I can imagine he's saying to himself, "What's happened to mankind? They're hoarding their wealth and worldly goods like it's a ticket to ride, a golden chariot up to heaven, but it all disappeared when they died." So that kind of says it like I believe it.
Well, it does. Jacob, tell us how to get your book of poetry, Let a Shepherd Be Your Guide. We've been listening to Jacob Nathaniel Shepherd. How do we get your book, Jacob?
It's available on Amazon and at Barnes & Noble and at most major bookstores. I know there's some small bookstores around our town here that have copies of it. It's available in both a hardback edition and also a softback. And, of course, you can get it on the Internet through Nook and the other there are other ones of those. So it's up to you. Of course, the prices vary depending on which one you get. I was at a meeting this morning, the Wilmington Men's Club, and an older gentleman was sitting next to me, and he had heard that I write poetry and had written a book. And he said, "I want to buy one of your books." And I said, "Okay, I've got some in the car, and I'll be glad to go out and get one for you." He said, "I want you to sign it for me." And I said, "Oh, I'll be glad to do that." He said, "My wife's birthday is December 2nd, and I want to give it to her for a birthday present." So I got him one, and that was sort of the way I make purchases when people hit.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Jacob, for being with us on Indie Book Publishing. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you, Steve. It's been a pleasure, and I enjoy doing what we've just been doing.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by West Bow Press.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com. Helen Wu was born and raised in San Francisco's Chinatown, and after a very difficult upbringing, fighting depression, abuse, and addictions, she finally finds herself genuinely happy inside and out. Helen believes in taking our positive thinking and doing something positive to achieve a positive outcome. She's here to make a positive difference in your life, to be your game changer, your aha moment mentor. She's ready to help both men and women get into a better place. Helen Wu is also the author of Self-Aid Success Stories, 25 Success Stories from Successful Entrepreneurs. Inspired by Ellen DeGeneres, Helen wants the world to know that just because we find ourselves in a difficult situation doesn't mean we have to stay there. We can aid ourselves to a better life. So join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Steve Jorgensen and for Indie Book Publishing. This is J. Douglas Barker. We have an Inspiring Voices release this morning, and our author is Harveline Sanderson. I welcome Harveline to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning. This book, tell me what the title is of this book.
Hello, Jesus Loves You.
Sounds like a book that is religious in nature. Would that be a good description?
That would be, it is.
I have actually looked through the pages. I think it's charming. You've got some beautiful illustrations here. Tell me the background of this. What have you done in addition to being an author that inspired you to write this book?
I've been a kindergarten teacher for 30 years in a public school system.
So children are an important aspect of your history.
They are.
And apparently your faith as well.
Yes, the faith as well.
Tell me about the book. What was your motivation in putting this together?
Well, children today need to live in a connected world. They need to be able to understand other cultures and backgrounds. And I thought this book might be a good beginning. Even though they don't learn an entire language, they get to start with the hello in different languages.
You've done this in about 14 pages. Explain to folks what the content is about and how does it work?
Well, to me, it's a very simple book, and the beautiful illustrations, it's a children's illustration book, helps a whole lot to get the idea across. But it has beautiful pictures of children from different cultures, and they learn to say hello, have hello in 8 languages, including English. And the beautiful illustrations shows the make them familiar, help them become familiar with the background of the language and culture on that page. So I really appreciate the job illustrated it with the pictures. They're very good.
They are. And Guten Tag is German. And we have Bonjour, which is French. Each of the pages has that basic greeting, hello. And then in English, it says, Jesus loves you.
Right, yes.
And it reaches out to cultures all around the world. Ciao, which is Italian for hello. And then a beautiful illustration of some Italian children and the word Jesus loves me. Or Jesus loves you, excuse me. And you've done this for cultures around the world.
Yes. And to have children have a good feeling about themselves, live in a time where things are uncertain. And maybe if they have a good feeling within themselves, then they will have the strength to deal with the things that they need in life.
Absolutely. And the very last page, which is beautifully illustrated again, we have children from all around the world standing on top of a globe in a circle and holding hands. And the final message is, hello, Jesus loves all the children of the world.
Okay, that page came from a song many, many years ago in Sunday school, Jesus loves all the children of the world.
And did you want to sing that this morning?
I don't think so.
I just thought I would ask you. I mean, I've had some authors that have joined us in a song, so that's been fine. Describe the process of putting this together. Where did you get the inspiration, and how long did it take to get published?
Well, I have been thinking about it for quite a while. I wrote it after I retired, but as far as voices, the publishing took a few months, but I have been thinking about the book for a couple of years.
And did you know the illustrator that put the pictures together for you?
No, I didn't meet her in person, but I certainly sent her an email, talk with her, and told her that I enjoyed the illustrations very much, because I had to give an idea of what I would like, and she followed it quite well.
What age group would you think this book would especially appeal to?
Young children. 3 to 7, or even younger. You can read the book to a small child. But probably up to 9 would be interested. They would like it.
Was there anything challenging about putting this book together?
Not really. I love writing.
And what other writings have you done or are you planning to do in the future?
Well, I would like to write another children's picture book. And I can't sing, but I'm a poet. I've written some poetry. I can write poems.
Wonderful.
I've had some poetry published.
Oh, you have? Wonderful. Poem. You wouldn't happen to have one of those poems nearby, would you, or have one that you could quote from memory?
Not right now, but I could get one. I've written one especially for Sisters of Veterans Day, especially for soldiers, and it was saying we had a light shining to welcome them back home, and I've written a Christmas poem.
Wonderful. And, very appropriate, because today we're doing the interview on November 11th, Veterans Day. So very appropriate that you've written and addressed that particular need in our world. Anything that was challenging about the artwork?
Well, trying to decide the appropriate pictures for each page was challenging.
Well, we hope to hear from you in the future. How do we get copies of your book?
Barnes & Noble and Amazon.
And again, remind the listeners the name of the book.
Hello, Jesus Loves You.
Very straightforward, to the point, and a charming book for, I would say, preschoolers and elementary school children. They would enjoy this book and find it a treasure to get acquainted with other cultures around the world through it. Thank you for writing it.
Thank you. I really enjoyed doing it.
Excellent. And do you have another book in the works right now?
Not right now, but I'm thinking about it. I'm getting thoughts in my mind.
Good. Well, thank you for joining us, Haveline. And again, the book is titled Hello, Jesus Loves You. The author is Haveline Sanderson, an illustrated book that connects children with cultures around the world and shares the universal message that Jesus loves them. Thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
For Indie Book Publishing and Inspiring Voices, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.